Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio. Special Operations Military News and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of Soft Rep Radio. Those that you are watching already see that I have my guest on, and it is Mike Laith, SEAL Team 4 operator, United States Navy, drifter in life. I like to see those bumper stickers out there on the road that say, "Not all who wander are lost." Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rad. I appreciate it. It's awesome to be on here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. You know, Brandon's like, "Yo, dial him up. Let's get him." And I was like, "Let's get it." And what we're going to talk about is really, what was it that drove you to join the SEALs? You know, how old were you? And was it like a high school? Like, tell me a little bit about what took you from boom.
It's kind of a funny story. So, I mean, everyone's story that gets to the SEAL teams or any special operations unit is pretty unique. But when I has to go back to when I was in grade school. So I was in fifth grade. I got in trouble for whatever reason. I was always getting in trouble. I got grounded and I wasn't allowed to watch TV. I mean, this is before iPads and all that shit. So it was like, all I had was TV. So my mom was like, "Read a book." I was like, "I don't want to read a book." And she took me to, it was Barnes and Noble. And I walked in and I went over to the military section. And right away, there was a book there with a guy all painted up in camouflage, hiding in the jungle. And there was a big gold trident on it. I had no idea what Navy SEALs were at the time. But I just thought the cover looked cool as shit. So I was like, it was about Vietnam frogs, you know, frogmen in Vietnam. It was a lot of SEAL Team 1 stories, if I remember right. And I was hooked. And then like within months, the movie with Charlie Sheen came out, Navy SEALs. And I was like,
Oh yeah.
I was like, done, I'm doing this. And so then in sixth grade, in my school district where I grew up, you graduated sixth grade and went to middle school. And they did like a graduation ceremony. We had a yearbook. And in the yearbook, it asked, "In 20 years, I will be dot, dot, dot." And like every kid in my class wrote they're going to be, I grew up in Philly. So everyone was going to be like playing for the Sixers, the Eagles, the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, "I'm going to be a United States Navy SEAL working on top secret missions." And I totally forgot that I did that. And when I graduated SEAL training, one of my buddies, his mom was like, they were moving and they cleaned out the house, and she came across the yearbook and she was like reading the stories about all the kids we grew up with, and she was laughing and she was like, holy shit, Mike's actually doing this. And they gave the yearbook to my dad, who gave it to me at graduation. And I was like, damn. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you're accomplishing, you know, your youthful goals, bro. Yeah. Subconsciously, right? That book just inspired you.
Yeah, so it was like, so high school, I was kind of a lost cause, just ended up, I was a total knucklehead, went to college, and I wasn't some, I wasn't doing awesome. Let's just say, I was just,
word.
I was just partying, having a good time, trying to figure out life, selling some wild oats. And then 9/11 happened. And then like shortly after that, I was just like, this is what I got to do. And,
yeah.
And about a year after 9/11, it took me a little while to get through the recruiting process because I had some legal troubles growing up. But then I finally got into the Navy and went to the fleet for a little bit, then ended up at Buds.
What was your need of the Navy at first when you, before you got to Buds? Like, you know, we always hear about the romance of Buds. What was it that you did prior to that?
Yeah. So at the time, this, you know, it's going back to like 2002, 2003, the Navy, you could get a SEAL challenge contract, but the SEAL, Navy SEALs didn't have their own rating. Like eventually they had their own rating, or called like special SOs, special operators. But at the time you had to pick a specific rating in the Navy to get a billet to Buds. And so I was like, what's the fastest thing to get me to boot camp? And they were like, we have an opening for parachute riggers, air crew survival equipment.
Oh.
And so they wouldn't give me a SEAL challenge contract because of my police record. So I had to get a waiver just to get into the regular Navy, got into the regular Navy, and then had to go to my first command and try out. To go through like a regular fleet sailor applying to Buds. Yeah, and that's what I did.
That's awesome. I mean, you just kept at it. You just wanted to serve the country. You know, there was a huge, you know, rally around the campfire, so to speak, during 9/11. I remember it very much. And, you know, there was not so much divisiveness. It was like, you're either with us or against us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the melting pot that we see today. And I have to say that, you know, social media helps perpetuate a lot of the narrative out there. And I just would like to see, you know, us have that same mindset, like what you wanted to do for the heart of it all, be in place right now with kind of everyone in the world, right? Like to say, like, I don't know how to say it, man. I guess I just want peace in a redwood tree with an AK. All right. I'll just live there.
I mean, I look at like social media just perpetuates like the people that are on the fringes, and they get the loudest voice because it garners like the most attention. But that's not like, I think how, you know, 95% of America really wants to be. Like, we get the 2.5% fringe on each side, which unfortunately just like dominates any kind of news and media. And so people think everything's in a shitter, but I still believe in the American people and the American dream and our red, white, and blue. So
that's what's okay. I'm the same. Yeah, I just 100%. And I'm glad to hear that from you. Now, you enlisted in the military, which is, did you go through your college career or did you just enlist? You said
I dropped out to enlist.
Yeah,
my dad was a construction worker doing water pipe stuff. My mom was a hairdresser. They never went to college, so they were pretty excited for me to like graduate college.
And heck yeah.
I was like going in my senior year and I was like, no, I'm out. And they were like, what? And I was like, don't worry, I'll finish my degree when I'm in. And I did. I finished my degree on active duty on nights and weekends. And when I graduated, I sent the certificate to my mom, make her all happy. And then
that's nice.
Now I enlisted. I like being an E-dog. You get the best jobs.
Stayed enlisted then the whole time, even with your degree?
Yeah. So I hit my 10-year mark and it was kind of like, do I stay in for another 10 or do I get out? And at the time I had 3 kids, I have 4 kids now. And I was like, dude, I was never home. I needed to do something different. I saw the wars winding down. I didn't want to be stuck in like a training cell all the time. And I was like, do I stay in and go officer? Like, I don't know. I was going through a bunch of stuff and then I applied to business school. I never thought I would get into a school like Wharton Business School, and I did. And it was in Philly where I grew up. So I moved back to Philly.
Right.
Be with my family, kind of figure out life.
Get a cheesesteak with Wiz from either one side of the street or the other side of the street. I just.
The best in Philly, though, is neither of them. It's Del Sandro's and Rock.
Oh, there we go. We're going to put that in the comments. Del Sandro's. We're going to put that in the comments.
Yeah, everyone goes to Pat and Gino's thing. I think that's more of like a tourist. Don't get me wrong. They're good, right?
No, I get you.
There's so many other good places in Philly for cheesesteaks.
Oh, you got to be stoked that the Eagles are going to the...
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
A Super Bowl. I mean, come on, right? Kansas City Chiefs and the Eagles.
Andy Reid coming back. It's funny. It's like Andy Reid coming back after he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl loss, but he's coming back. And then you got the Kelsey brothers against you. There's just so many cool tidbits with this Super Bowl.
Well, here in Utah, those two bros, the two players from Grantsville High School, are going to be playing against each other in the Super Bowl. So, and there's the two brothers.
Yeah, that's Jason and then there's Travis, like, Kelsey. I didn't realize they were from Utah, but
if that's the same two, yeah, because they both played at Grantsville High School here, just about 20 minutes west of where I'm at. Yeah. And now, like, the news here is never Grantsville. But now Grantsville is like, yeah, everybody Grantsville, you know. So, all right. So, you know, go for both of those athletes. Good luck to both teams. It's a sports, a proper sport, you know, and let's just listen to the refs and let your coaches do the talking.
There's two brothers too. They run an awesome podcast. It might just be called the Kelsey Brother Podcast or something. They're hilarious. They're good.
Oh yeah. We'll put that in there. We'll plug it, dude. Yeah. That's great. And it's cool. Cause it's, you know, I'm sure that when this goes up, I think the Super Bowl is like the 18th or 19th, isn't it? I think of this month, maybe the 23rd.
The 12th. I think it's next Sunday. 12th.
Oh, so it's this. Yeah. So this will probably go up after. So let's make a prediction. All right. You're calling it for who?
Oh, the Eagles. Yeah. The Eagles are going to win by 10.
By 10.
Yeah. I think.
I'll say Eagles by a field goal.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's okay. The spread. So we're good.
Yeah. That's like a nail biter right there. Laces out. Okay. So we'll go back to this and listen and say, okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Now, the thing you talked about was the college that you got into, Warren College, after you got out of the, or you applied, you're like, what am I going to do 10 more years? And you're like, entrepreneur, huh? That's what's in your mind. You're just like, go after it.
I always gravitated towards the entrepreneur thing. I was always doing crazy shit when I was a kid, like kids in the neighborhood to help me figure out how to hustle and make money with like side projects. Like I made comic books when I was in elementary school and we would sell them in school. This is like when the Marvel cards were getting real big, before Marvel is what it is today. Side landscaping businesses, shoveling snow, all that stuff. I got suspended from school because I used to buy Airheads at wholesale and then I would sling them out of my backpack at school for like, I'd get them for like a nickel a piece and I'd sell them for 25 cents a piece. I was making like $100 a week in change, taking it to the bank in like seventh and eighth
grade. Oh, yeah.
And then I got suspended if we're doing it. And I was like, wait, is this
what?
I'm learning more from this than any fucking bullshit math class you're giving me.
I mean, you're really selling Airheads, dude. That's great. I mean, not to steal that, but my dad had vending machines in the school I went to because it was attached to the armory and he was a Green Beret that his unit was attached to there. So there was an armory attached to the junior high and he put a key around my neck and he's like, anytime you see these vending machines turned off in the gym, you just turn them right on. Okay. So I would be the kid that everybody would roll with. We'd go over to the vending machines, just turn them right on, my dad's Coke machine, and they'd all just get Cokes right there. Or, yeah, 100%, dude. And hustling as well. I used to sell grilled cheeses for a dollar or a whole for two. because I didn't have a job at 13.
Yeah.
Who's going to hire me?
Yeah.
You know, so everybody's selling lemonade. And I was like, I got to do something different than Cody. So I'm going to sell grilled cheese with Velveeta, bro. And I sold them all $13. But I was like, what are you doing?
Pull up to a
like selling all your Diet Cokes from the vending machine.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, it's good times, bro.
So, like, I just always had that entrepreneurial bug. And then when I got out of active duty and I was at school, I was at, you know, I was at this fancy business school. And I was just like, I didn't even know what half the stuff was. I was looking at, like, the difference between investment banking, private equity, hedge funds. And I was just trying to figure it out. The problem with going entrepreneurial at that time is, like, I have kids that I need to support. And when you're an entrepreneur and go to a startup, like, you're in a hurt locker for quite some time until it starts becoming successful, if it becomes successful at all. So I took jobs that paid for a bit, but I was doing a side, like I started off doing a real estate side hustle. I was about to start off flipping properties. And then from there I rolled in and getting like multifamily real estate investments so I could get like monthly cash flow off the rents. Mm-hmm. And then when we started ZeroWise in 2018, I sold all of that to dump it into the company so we could get ourselves going.
And then you had a course to focus on now with ZeroWise. And if I read a little bit about like the dossier that came through on you, it was like right after the Parkland shootings, you know, and of course other shootings, I'm sure, you know, at the schools or at soft targets that we all, you know, frequent, whether it's the mall or the Walmarts, it kind of impacts you like it impacts me, but you're doing something about it.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was me and another co-founder. We get around and kick around business ideas all the time over like beers, coffee, whatever, even on the phone, text. And then to start a business, you have to be solving a problem for someone, right? And every time we turned on the news, I mean, nothing's changed since Columbine. It's only gotten worse. But this is going back to 2017. And it was like every time you turn on news, it was another shooting, another shooting, another shooting. And then the Parkland school shooting happened. And my daughter's school, my oldest daughter, she was in middle school at the time. That school, her school started doing lockdown drills, also known as active shooter drills. And she came home really upset, like, Dad, we had to do this drill. Are they going to come and shoot our school like these other schools? And I was like, this is fucking nuts. Like, and I knew some folks that were doing facial recognition technology. And that was always in the back of my head and all the stuff that was happening with AI and computer vision, just trying to learn more about it. And then fast forward a couple of days, I was just sitting in our school waiting for an indoor lacrosse practice to be over. And as I was sitting there, I was just looking around, there's a camera like every 20 feet in a school. And you could just do some quick math. You're like, there has to be 200, 300 cameras in this building. And they have security guards. Security guard was walking around. They're like, and I was like, hey, who's looking at the cameras? And he laughed. He's like, no one's looking at the cameras. We only look at them after something happens. I was like, shit, why don't we use them instead of like doing facial recognition where everyone has all these privacy concerns? Why don't we just focus on detecting a gun? If someone has a gun out in the open, like particularly out of school, I think everyone wants to know. So now we could give that information of like what that person looks like, what type of weapon they're carrying, how many shooters there are, and geolocate them on a map for first responders and local staff and security so they could get people to safety as fast as possible, but also decrease the response time and stop the threat, stop the bleed, and, you know, save time, save lives. And I called up my buddies, my co-founders, and I was like, yo, I got this idea. And I was like, you guys in? We all quit our jobs and moved into a couple of them moved into my basement and lived on hammocks for a couple months. And we self-funded the business to go for like the first year. I was just trying to figure it out. And here we are 5 years later, and we have almost 130 employees. We're in 35 states, growing in schools, commercial places, and military installations.
Yeah, they're finding a need to say, hey, if this does happen here, it's not to stop the situation. It's to zero in on my pencil, if you will.
Yep.
Freeze frame it. Freeze frame me holding said pencil. Send that immediately. Like, this is what we're looking for, this situation. And it's going to alert the authorities and those that need to know that this is happening. And so they can respond before anybody can even get to the phone.
Yeah. It's just real-time actionable intelligence. In a perfect world, like, we detect that weapon,
right,
shots are even fired, and we can stop it before anyone gets hurt. And it's like, that's the win everyone wants.
I mean, you're coming up with something, though. It's better than, you know, sending my kid with, I mean, I'm not trying to dog it, but like a Kevlar backpack. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not trying to say if you send your kid with a Kevlar backpack to school, I'm just saying, like, that's great. Yeah. Yeah.
All the security cameras are already there. So like, why don't we make them proactive, right, to detect a gun? Like everywhere you go, there's a security camera.
We're monitored.
Yeah.
100% walking down the streets.
Yeah. Good luck trying to get away.
Don't give away my medical information.
It's It's insane.
HIPAA.
Yeah.
Come on. HIPAA. Come on, man. If you tell me it's not HIPAA, it's you. Yeah. Come on. I'm sorry. I just want to, this facial recognition, man. It is everywhere. I was in London, you know, and they say when you're walking through London for 10 minutes, you're like filmed 1500 times.
That's the most surveilled city in the world.
Yeah.
It's,
I just walk. I'm just like, I feel safe in London. I'm like, la, la, la. Cause I just feel like, do you like what you see?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying your show?
Yeah.
You know, that's really, that's like Truman. Here we are, yeah. You know? And when you referenced AI, it's a acronym that we're using more and more. That's artificial intelligence. And that's where we're getting these types of facial recognition platforms or gun recognition platforms. That's pretty cool. Now it's, can it only be pulled out? So you have to actually pull out the device to be scanned, or can it be like, can you see?
Yeah. So we don't do concealed weapons. It could be partially concealed.
Yeah.
So it's all based on pixels off the camera feed. It could be partially concealed, but then like multiple variables come to play, like lighting, distance, et cetera. So that the simplest way we tell people is like, if a human is sitting down looking at that video feed and they could tell like, hey, that's a gun, our ZeroWise platform will also detect that it's a gun.
I see.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because it's just going to get more refined.
Yeah.
You know, we're 2023.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how much it improves. It's like a snake eating its own tail, like the feedback loop of it improving. But the really interesting thing about it is like the detections, like we see detections that are so far away and we're like, holy shit, or like weird lighting conditions. And it's like, it just works really well. And you can get that information to people as soon as possible.
With your testing you've been doing with range and whatnot, sure, and just trying to see what you can pick up, how it can pick up. With that algorithm, I'm sure you guys keep that close to your chest so that no one can, you know, go after that, right?
Like all the data we use for it, we
sure
in-house, all of our developers are in-house. It's our Coke recipe.
And you have a knack for looking for veterans that are qualified to come and work with you if they apply themselves, is that right?
Oh yeah, we love hiring vets. It's so out of like the 130 employees that we have, roughly probably about 75 to might even be like 80% are veterans, all branch. Actually, we don't have anyone from Space Force. We did get our first Coastie. We have a lot of Marines.
You have Coast Guard? You got Coast Guard? You got to count Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah.
They listen, too.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
I don't care. Department of Homeland Security, man. They're negative. Who's going to fight for America on the shores first? His coast?
Yeah.
The coast.
The coasties.
Yeah.
So we got people from all brands. I mean, we love hiring vets, right? It's like that. They're trainable. They got all those soft skills that are really important. Teamwork, communication skills. They could be a leader. They could be a follower. They'll grind it out. Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out. But being trainable is like the most important aspect of that, because they could come in and not know anything about computer vision, AI, how it's sales, any of that stuff. Like, and we just train them on it.
And we show up.
Yeah. Just show up. We'll get you up to speed pretty quickly.
I tell my staff every day, thank you for coming to work.
Yes.
And they look at me like, wow, why? I'm like, you're here?
Yeah. Get some shit done. If we only get one thing done today, it's at least you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. You came to work, you committed to coming to work, and that's awesome. So do you find that using your SEAL background has helped you and your military background in this endeavor, you know?
Yeah, it definitely does. It really helped because we're working in the security space. We're dealing with in our process with our clients, or potentially going to be our clients in our sales process. We're always dealing with like security directors, security minded folks. And it really helps coming from like a military. And then we have law enforcement backgrounds on our team too. We could speak the language outside of like the IT tech realm. We could speak the language of like what to do about certain threats and timing and movement and how it can help. And what's a really at the end of the day, if you're paying for this, what's the value they're getting out of it? And we could easily show it. Mm-hmm. But once people have like ZeroWise on our platform, and we see it over and over and over again with clients, what they do is like, they'll go put it on like a small subset of their cameras. And then they have the local police run drills with their security team, like an active shooter drill, et cetera. And they do it without the software running. They do it with the software running because they want to test it. They want to like punch holes in it. And they want to kick the tires. And we're like, yeah, go for it. Do it.
Yeah,
and
right.
Everyone, after they use it and they get the alerts and stuff, they're just like, damn, this needs to be on every camera. This is so helpful. Because if you think about it now, mm-hmm. an active shooter event happens, the way the police are responding is from a 911 call. So shots are fired at whatever building or whatever location. Everyone starts scattering. Some people run, some people don't. They have tunnel vision. Their heart rate's through the roof. They're sweating. They're scared. They're locking up. And then within a minute of that shooting, you're finally getting some 911 calls. And a person's like, hey, there's a shooter here. And they're like, where are you? And they're like, they just named the building or the campus. Like, oh, I'm at such and such school or such and such mall or whatever, such and such military base. Okay,
right.
Where? And it could be like a 100-acre campus. And they like, we're dialing them in to the X, to exactly where they need to go. Not only that.
Now my gosh, from 103. Yep. Right.
And so once the police or first responders like use our system, they're like, damn, this is a game changer. And I'm like, yeah, it's gonna help. Now, is it like the cure all to this? No, absolutely not. But it's like, it's something moving us in the right direction to make a difference.
Well, I completely agree with that, you know, and if it can help, you know, to just extinguish the situation, you know, yeah. No one wants it to be a loss of life, right? But still, lock up your guns at home, parents.
Yes. Yes.
Put a lock on it. Yes. Let's start there, okay? Because that's an accessible situation, right? Let's just be aware of that. And I have that locked up. You should have yours locked up. I have access to it. I have a thumbprint style situation. Right. So, you know, because Mission Impossible.
they're coming out with this tech that goes actually on gun grips where it's only your fingerprint will allow you to use the weapon or like whoever else you have in your biometric case for that thing. And I was like,
so it's biometric. Yeah.
I was like, that's interesting. Like, I mean, I wouldn't put it on my hunting. Well, I don't know. I would have to play with it to see how I feel about it.
Because if you're wrapped in red to hot to trot, then you don't want to have to thumbprint to like get access. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, right? But to get it out of the glass case.
Yes.
So I think practicing safety is going to be the first thing at home, talking to your kids, letting them know like, hey, this is in the house. This is the things that are put away. They're locked up.
Yeah.
You know, be open with your... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unless you want to go and do something with mom or dad or
like,
you
know. I have kids and they go hunting and stuff with me. And and you just teach common sense gun handling skills and you go through the range safety requirements and everything like that. Like, hey, this is the muzzle. This is when it's hot. This is the chamber. Oh, this is the safety. This is the trigger. Don't put your finger on the trigger. Like, don't swing your muzzle around. Like, it's.
This is why you clean it.
That's stuff my dad taught me, stuff I learned in Boy Scouts. It's stuff I teach to my...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Did you have some time in the Scouts? Is that right?
Yeah, I loved the Scouts when I was growing up. And my dad was involved with it, with me and my brother. And then I was actually about to make Eagle Scout and I was going in ninth grade. So I was going to be like the youngest Eagle Scout in our troop. I had like two more things to do, but then I was going into high school and it wasn't cool anymore. And all I wanted to
do
go to dances and chase girls and hang out with my buddies. I didn't want to go camping with a bunch of dudes anymore. Now I love camping with a bunch of dudes, but it was like, I was like, at the time, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. My dad.
No, And it's in the back. Me too, bro. No, don't worry about it. I got to be, let's see. So I went from Tenderfoot to the next one. And then I was pretty much done at about 15 skateboarding and having a skate shop and all this kind of stuff. I was like, what am I doing? You know, it's like, I got to go sell skateboards tomorrow. And then now my son, though, he's pushing towards a life, right? He needs to get a life as a scout. So he's working on that. You know, he's 14. And we find, you know, that as long as you can keep him probably staying the course from 14 right now to 15 and accomplishing that, they're probably going to get it. Once they hit 15, 16, they're going to be coming back into Scouts because they have found out they get a rank when they get that Eagle. And they're coming back into the troop and they're like, hey, I just need to catch up. And one of my young men, he comes in, he's a 16-year-old and he's not even a star yet. And he's trying to catch up, you know, and it's like, bro, you got to have at least 6 months between life and Eagle.
Yeah.
You know, just to even get that, you have to have all these service projects.
Not all those ranks and stuff.
So he's chasing it, right? It's just something that's always just like, oh, yeah. If you're karate,
Every summer we would go to like they would have camps out on the East Coast, like big Boy Scout camps, like with Camp Nobi Bosco, Bushkill Falls. And I would stay there for like a week or two in the summer and just like working all my different merit badges and make fires and run around in the woods and play capture the flag and go to the lake. And it was awesome.
You know, that totally just goes right into what you went into in the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like into the SEALs. It was like 100%. Who needs to start a fire? Who's cold? Let's shiver. Watch. If we shiver, we'll stay alive until you're tired and then you can't shiver anymore, but we'll try. Yeah. You know, here you are, right? Simple things. It's funny when you see a 13-year-old leading grown adults on a 7.5-mile hike into the backwoods, but they're like, this is that plant and this is that plant and that's that animal and this is that rock and don't step there. I mean, if there's something to be said about that. With all of this business that you're going after with the DOD, are they pretty heavily with your company? I would imagine.
I mean, it's tough doing government contracts, right? So you have to really walk the dog and it's a really long process and cycle. So we started off with like super small, they're called SBIRs, Small Business Innovative Research Grants or something along those lines. And we started off small, like really small ones where it was like a proof of concept and like a PowerPoint presentation. And then it went to like making it a reality. So the Air Force sponsored us for a couple of those grants to do stuff at different air bases. Some Marine bases have worked with us. Army's picking up. And so now it's like we've done really well, and particularly in the DOD space or like within the military bases. It's starting to spread to other things within like just a huge umbrella of the DOD. And so, yeah, we see a world where we're going to be on many more military bases with their security cameras.
Yeah, I could see that.
I see multiple that active that. Shooters across military bases, like like Pensacola, Hawaii,
Fort Hood.
Yep.
Come on, I mean, really, you know, it's just that's crazy. You know, it's just such a surreal conversation I'm having about right now with you is this whole, you know, active shooter at these places, and you know how we're trying to thwart it, and it's kind of bringing it home a little bit. So don't mind me if I'm getting somber. I just feel a little like, you know, my son was in an active drill at school, you know, and they forgot to release them from it and let them know it was a drill.
Yeah.
And so one of the little girls in the class was just like crying and screaming because it was about 20 minutes had gone by and they were like still sheltered in place and no one had like released the kids from this drill that they planned. Yes. And so that's kind of like just trauma.
Yeah. I tell people like it's so, you know, my parents and stuff grew up doing nuclear fallout shelter drills because of the Cold War. Then we grew up doing fire alarm drills. Like the idea of an active shooter drill is like not even close.
No,
not even in the realm of reality. Then you had 1999. I was a senior in high school and Columbine happened. And it's just like the world drastically changed from that, or at least in the United States. And now we have our kids doing these active shooter drills all the time. Like, it's like the norm, like a fire alarm drill. And you're like, what the fuck? And that's why I see as
being I never had that
camera eventually, or this type of technology being on every camera eventually. Just that it's more, way more, it's like 12 to 15 times more people die from gun violence every year than they do fires. But every building you walk into has a smoke detector, a fire alarm, fire suppression system. And I'm like, dude, it's just going to be code where you have to have this technology on to help with the first responders so they can get medical aid in there as fast as possible, stop the threat, and you know, get people safe.
It's true. And get some decent cameras for your security system, you know, 1998.
Yeah, you see some shitty cameras up. Crazy.
One pixel camera back, you know what I mean? I want cameras that can at least see the assailant stab me.
Yeah.
Okay. So they could catch him, right? Like, who was that? You know, it's like, I may not make it, but at least you got the footage.
Yeah, I mean, you see some of this footage that comes over the news of like whatever robbery or something like that, that you on the news, and you're like, what is that camera from like 1985? What is that?
Really? I mean, is that Kodak black and white film? What are they still using? There was a
VHS tape and record that.
Yeah, it's true. It's like a little bit goes into it. Invest in your security system, right? That's what you're there to help with too. I'm sure you've got some quality systems that you can recommend if somebody decides to, you know, hit you up. And I just want to let anyone know, no one's paying me to talk about his business. This is something that's very specific and very top of the conversation. And he's leading the charge with this artificial intelligence and the conversation of recognition. We're all being facially recognized, whether you think it's walking down the street or when you go to look at your iPhone. Okay. When you're like looking at your cell phone and it's like facial recognition to open that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like
every app.
Every app. Yeah.
We don't do any facial. Like, we just focus on detecting guns, which is great. We're like, we're focusing on this one specific type of object. We're not collecting any personal identifiable information. We're not making lists of people to watch or anything like that. We're just straight up like, hey, if you want to know if there's a gun on your campus or your business or your base or whatever the environment is, like shopping mall, casino, hospital, hey,
right, boom,
here, there's a gun right here. And then they enact they enact their protocols to respond to that while the first responders are coming.
Yeah, that's like what's that old school that old Chevy Car Star where you'd hit it? It's like you roll and it automatically like sends a satellite signal out, like, you're in an accident. We're sending 911 right to right onto your spot.
What the hell is that? It's like, it goes on every car now, but
OnStar. So, yeah, it's like, I'm not also not paid by them for plugging them, but yeah, OnStar, right? We all know what that was. You'd push it. It's like, you must have a $9 a month membership.
Yeah. Like, I have my iPhone.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, it's just the wave of the future. You know, technology is gaining steam. You know, you've got, you know, super artificial intelligence sensors out there in the world since for smart cities being constructed, and, you know, the gun recognition, weapon recognition, you know, probably crossbow recognition. I mean,
zombie recognition.
Yeah, I wish it was just crossbows. You know, if you could imagine the right to bear arms with a musket right now, active shooters would just be like a one shot and then they'd pull in a blade because they ain't got time to reload, right? Blackbeard carried 8 pistols on him, Blackbeard the pirate. So he had pop, 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 pop because he couldn't reload them.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, there is that opportunity too, you know, but I know that my community loves to, you know, have their things, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Have them. Yeah. Right. Just lock them up.
Yep.
Okay. That's what's up. I don't care if you have anything. I'm not even going to talk about it no more. Yeah. I'm going to stop because I got it too. That's all.
Oh, that's it.
But I will say,
rabbit hole.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it gets crazy. And I don't want to offend anybody because I do and I don't. But I want to talk about what you're wearing on your shirt. And I feel like I know that logo. It feels like to
coffee.
Me.
Yeah. I'm actually.
Yeah.
So we went out and did their podcast, me and a couple of the founders. We went out to Utah to your stomp.
Jeff.
And it was awesome. We went on their show and I rock their t-shirt all the time. I love it. It's actually like my comfy tee.
That looks like the Ready Man logo.
Yeah. And then.
Yeah.
We're actually.
Well, I just had Jeff. I just had him on the podcast. He was my 2 shows before this. I had Jeff Kirkham from, I think that's probably who took you out. You know, that's
who. I forget his name that interviewed me. I have to look at my phone. I'm so bad with names. My brain's like so
fucked. It was probably Jeff and Paul and, you probably went into
Eric
the
Forrest. Combat controller, then did stuff over at the...
Yeah, well, he was Green Beret, and he had that room at Black Rifle Studios where it was a really nice podcast studio. Did you go into that?
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah, yeah, sweet. That was what I used to use, too, until COVID. That was my studio.
It's driving me crazy that I can't remember his name right now. I'll look it up in a second. Now I'm in Whitefish, Montana, actually, today, skiing.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I was doing the skiing, and my fiance was with me. She was snowboarding yesterday, and it was snowing, so we're getting, like, fresh powder as we're going.
Oh, I love that.
It was awesome.
I love that. So my wife wants to go to Big Sky. That's where you're at right now, or what?
Whitefish Mountain.
Whitefish Mountain.
North of, like, Missoula, about 2 hours north of Missoula and Kalispell. But, like, later tonight, I'm going down to Kalispell to the Black Rifle Coffee place that they just built there with Andy Stumpf, and going on his Cleared Hot podcast with some of my founders. But we know Andy from...
Oh, that's awesome.
He was, like, our instructor in the SEAL teams at one point, and some of the guys deployed with him that are going to go be on the show. So it'll be cool.
That's awesome, bro. And if you're ever here in Utah and you want to go ride up at, like, any of the Brighton or something, you just let me know.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go.
Yeah.
Bring your fiance. My wife will all ride. Yeah, for sure. She snowboards, huh? There's got a great terrain park, you know, lots of good. I mean, not so much. It's not, there's vertical there, but it's a lot more like long runs for especially snowboarding.
Yeah. So we were going on runs yesterday that were over an hour long, which is amazing. Like, you don't get that on the East Coast.
No.
Like, you could go up to Vermont and get like some decent, you could get some decent ones for the East Coast up in Vermont, but like they were wicked long runs yesterday. And we're not going to rust off. We haven't gone in a while and we haven't gone at all this season, but it was nice. It was gorgeous.
I love it. Yeah. I'm going to assume that you wear a helmet.
I usually do. Yesterday, I actually didn't. I was just cruising.
Okay.
We weren't going down. I mean, we were on greens and blues yesterday. We weren't doing anything.
I got you, bro. I'm just going to let you know. I'm just going to be Jiminy Cricket right now. Just, just whisper in your ear. Just let you know. We're not getting younger. You know, I'm just all saying.
I can't take any more hits on my head. I've taken too many. So
I was cutting some trees yesterday, going through them, you know, with my wife, and I was leading, and I came up a little high and hit the back of my edge against a tree, and I was like, "Oh shit, you're a real tree, bro." That tree is. And I'm like, "Oh," and it knocked me down a little bit, and I was just off balance, off my board, and I was like, "I got a helmet on. I got a helmet on." That's all I'm thinking is like,
yeah.
I got a broken arm, but I got a helmet on.
I'm taking your advice because it's not even about like you hitting a tree or something. I mean, that's obviously part of it, but you'll know the other knuckleheads that are out there that are going to come into you. Yep.
No one's even like, I'm always like coming out or, you know, right side. Yeah. And everybody's just like trying to like cut.
Yeah.
You got fast dude cruising past you trying
to like a group of these like 14-year-olds that have no fear and they're just like, flying right
there. Yeah, dude. Like,
damn.
Yeah. And we'd like bells like ring ring on the beach on your bikes. Ring ring coming through. Ring. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
A whistle. You could take a whistle.
Like, I love taking my kids and stuff too, but I'm more of a good person now. Like I'm like going at a speed where I can have a beer in my hand and a smoke and I'm like, I'm fine.
Totally nice. Oh yeah, we'll get along just fine, dude. I have no problems with that. And if you're ever out in Utah, just let me know. We'll go right up to Brighton and let's go right up there and ride. We got about 120, 140 inches right now. So we've already maxed out from our last two seasons this year.
I actually lived in Tahoe. I dropped out for a semester. This is before I even went into the military. And I just bought a plane ticket to Reno and I packed a bag. And within like 5 days I left, I had no plan. And I got out at Reno and I was like, this is desert. I was like, I was expecting Tahoe. I took a cab. I only had like $400 in my pocket. I took a cab from Reno to Lake Tahoe and was like, drop me off at the first ski resort. And they dropped me off at Sugar Bowl. And I went in. I was like, hey, do you have a job? And they're like, yeah. And I took a job like working in the kitchen. And sometimes I'd work to be like a lift operator. And then
smart though. Kitchen, like, food.
A housing barracks dorm thing with a bunch of other employees. And it was like, I was there for 4 months. It was awesome.
That's awesome. What a great core memory right there, dude. That's awesome, right? 19. Like just
I might have just turned 19 and I was like, I need something different in my life right now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets.
if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Going into the Navy, coming out west, you wind up probably going through what, Coronado and all of that for your SEAL team training.
Yeah.
And then you got put into a team that we don't really talk about. You got SEAL Team 6, we hear about SEAL Team 1, SEAL Team 3, but you're part of SEAL Team 4.
Yeah.
And so is that now, a lot of us automatically maybe assume everybody goes to Afghanistan. Everybody in the SEALs just goes to Afghanistan. Boom. But was your team designated to a certain area of operation? Like,
no, we weren't. So just they restructured to SEAL Team 4. Before 9/11, used to cover down on South America. Post 9/11, they changed it all up. I'm not sure how it is now, but they changed it all up where basically whenever a SEAL team was ready to deploy, they were going wherever the action, like you were going to Iraq, you're going to Afghanistan,
so, yeah.
Somewhere in Africa, whatever. So I spent all my time in Afghanistan combat wise. My first deployment, we had some platoons go to Iraq, but they were winding down, wrapping it up, and Afghanistan was really picking back up. So I spent some time in like this small FOB with just our platoon by the border of Pakistan. And it was wild, that first deployment.
Wow.
Like, we were the most attacked FOB while we were there in country. And there was like, there's only a handful of us staying in this thing. And it was like every day, three times a day, rockets, mortars, small arms fire. And then
missions
against us to like really stop it. It just was like, they didn't want us going out at night anymore. Yeah. We're like,
You got you.
Yeah. And then eventually our commander was like, these guys are going to get fucking smoked if they keep we were just like sitting ducks. And then finally took the gloves off and we got after it. And we didn't get it to the last 3 months of the deployment was like roughly 8 months. The last 8 months or 3 months of the deployment, we didn't get attacked at all. It also helped. It was winter. But then we started moving into like village stability operations, which was, they would take a handful of Green Berets, SEALs, or whoever, and stick them in. You would literally live in a village with people and like sit around, drink tea, and eat goat, and then you would like try to get them to stand up for themselves. And in a nutshell,
wow, yeah. Politically, you know, a lot of Green Berets are, you know, just instilled governments.
Yeah, they're like ambassadors. Say, it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't a typical mission set for SEALs at all. Like,
no.
Was definitely a Green Beret mission. So like before we actually went to our VSO site or village stability site, me and two other guys from my platoon, we went out and stayed with Green Berets for like 2 weeks at their, see how they're running their VSO, what was working, what wasn't. And then we went and stood up ours. So it was a really interesting deployment. It was very, very active. It was everything I asked for and was expecting from the SEAL. Mm-hmm. So kind of lucked out with that. And then the second deployment went back to Afghanistan. And I went in on, I got attached to a NATO Special Forces unit. I got attached to the Polish Special Forces. And what they would do.
The Grom.
Yeah, I worked with the Grom and JWK. Mm-hmm. And so they would pick like one or two SEALs in with them. And then like we would help them intel and at whatever they need helos, we'll go get helos. You need intel, we'll help them put together a package. Mm-hmm. And then like direct on this for like what we wanted to get done. So it was a big force multiplier for us. So like instead of like the U.S. having to put a whole platoon of SEALs in one area. You can now only have to put like two Americans, but use the NATO Special Forces. And I was phenomenal. Like, I lived with those guys for months, and they just like really took me in, and it was a great time. We were doing awesome missions. It was a lot of nighttime stuff, blowing up like ID caches and
crazy.
Yeah, it was fun.
Everything you wanted, you know.
It's a little weird. It would be me and like 12 Polish guys out on an op, and have like 50 Afghans, and I was the only one speaking English. I was like, well, shit hits the fan. At least I was talking to the birds. Like, I was talking to guys.
Yeah. Hey guys. So I'm down here by myself. And how are you doing up there? Yeah. I'm not really by myself, but mentally.
Yeah, mentally. And then there was always like that one or two Polish guys that would speak their broken English. But after working with them for a while, like, you just learned how to communicate. I'd pick up some of their language. They were getting better with mine. And we, at the end of the day, you're special operators, like, you know what needs to be done, and we're looking at body language and everything like that. But it was an awesome experience working with them. I much would have rather been with a SEAL platoon, but it was still good. And then there was a couple of SEALs that rotated in and out with me. I stayed there most of the time, and then like, so I wasn't always solo, but it was good.
You're like, they haven't forgot about me.
Yeah.
You're new.
Yeah.
Are you real?
Yeah.
Do you speak tonight, Polish? I forgot that. I slept through Polish class.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, bro.
Man, the Polish.
No, that's intense, you know?
They were crazy. They would make it was like jailhouse wine. They would take like jerry cans that you would see that you would put on like a back of a Humvee, and they were setting it up. They would use fruit cocktail yeast to make like basically juice.
Sure.
And dude, this stuff would rip fucking paint off a car. But you got used to drinking it after a while, but it probably took a couple years off my life.
Oh, yeah. You're good. It's okay. You're like a cat. You got to count all those lies, those close ones. You're like, okay.
Yeah. This guy's like the
well, lose. I think that, the Polish Grom are just one of those special units that don't really get a lot of like spotlight on them, and they like it. I get it. Yeah. And at the same time, you know, actually, I think there's a character in Call of Duty, though, that is off the Grom right now. And so, you know, they're all about that piano. They have like a piano at their headquarters, and it's a very significant thing. It's very interesting about the Grom.
So when I went in, and I only worked with them for like 2 weeks. They ended up doing a mission, and we're basically advising them, like, stop doing it this way. But I'm not going to go into crazy details about it, but we're like,
sure.
Me and there was another SEAL that was with me, and he was really working the Grom. I was working at JWK, but we were like right next to each other, and then we worked with each other. And the Grom, they ended up going out to do this op, and we were like advising against it because of the intel packet, what we're seeing through intel. And then they got fucking ambushed. They lost like four dudes. Their troop commander took a fucking shot in the face. It was bad. And so they got the rest of the deployment for the next couple months, like that they weren't operating. So we just focused specifically on JWK, but it was like, it turned into a shit show. You always feel bad for guys when they lose a brother, and it's I felt bad for them, but they just didn't operate for the next couple months while we were there. So we just worked with the JWK. JWK is like Polish Green Berets. Those guys were awesome too.
I see. Okay, so the Grom would be equivalent to like a SEAL, right?
Yep.
And then the JWK would be the Green Berets SF style. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's a bummer that, you know, that ambush took place, because, I mean, like, these guys are trained up, you know, whether there's a packet telling them not to or not, they still...
Yeah.
You know, you get, and then there's someone out there. He says that his dirt means more than the side of your dirt, and now you guys are fighting over this dirt.
Yep.
And you're both up-trained, obviously, huh? Has to be.
They thought they had good intel to hit this target for someone, and they walked into a straight up ambush in this compound. They had like holes cut out in the walls. Like, they walked right into the dead zone, and it was just like, damn.
Just wild.
The fact that some of them got out alive is really impressive.
Yeah.
Because they got stuck in this courtyard, and they're just getting the shit hammered out of them.
Wow. Yeah. You were there to advise.
Yeah. I'm going that up.
Yeah. So. I know, bro. Sorry about that to you, and I'm just letting you know, okay?
I just want you to know that. It's part of the job.
Yeah, understood. Well, that's crazy. I'm not going to try to end it on that, but thanks for being who you are. Thanks for going after your dreams. Thanks for reading a book in seventh grade that steered you into, you know, choosing to fight for the flag that I get to sleep under at night. Thank you for... You know, being an outdoorsman and a father and coming home to us safely. And so thank you from me to you for all those things. So thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thank you. And thank you for all you do, getting the word out on all these great stories and the people you have on your show. And I appreciate it, Rad. It's awesome. And keep that beard.
You're very welcome.
It's that beard's perfect.
Oh, you. I'll tell you, when it gets ice beard from snowboarding, bro.
I had it yesterday. It was good. It was like the big chunks in there. And it was.
Yes, I love it. I know. My wife still got herself bundled up like a ninja. And I'm like, just grow your beard.
Yeah, let it
just let it go. Yeah. Just let it go. Good. Well, look, I know you got other podcasts to do and you got a busy schedule and you're a popular dude. So thank you so much. We'll make sure that zeroeyes.com gets a mention in our typed out softrep.com post. Awesome. And I just want to thank you so much for serving our country, being a really chill dude to take the time to talk with me this morning on your vacation. And thanks so much for joining me. Do you have anything you want to say?
No, yeah, just check out zeroeyes.com and thanks everyone. Yeah. Let's go make a difference.
Let's go make a difference. All right. Well, this is Rad on behalf of Mike saying peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.